In the name of one Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, as some of you know, I spent last week and a little bit of the prior week with my wife, Michelle, up at Chautauqua in far western New York. Anybody here ever heard of Chautauqua, the Chautauqua Institution? Anybody ever been to Chautauqua? One? Okay. So, the Chautauqua Institution, which has been around for almost 150 years, it's difficult to explain if you haven't been there and seen it, right? Chautauqua was founded, as I said, almost 150 years ago by a Methodist bishop and a very prosperous Ohio businessman. So you might say that from the beginning it was kind of a combination of sacred and secular. It started life as a training camp for Sunday school teachers. And back in the day when Sunday school teachers taught more than what we think of as Sunday school, it might have been the only school that little kids went to. It became, even though it was founded by a Methodist bishop, it became ecumenical, maybe sort of non-denominational. Although, interestingly, the most recent senior pastor of Chautauqua was Gene Robinson, Episcopal bishop, and the incoming senior pastor at Chautauqua is Gene Sutton, who is currently the bishop of the Episcopal Diocese of Maryland. So there's a kind of an interesting Episcopal flavor, at least to some of the worship services. So Chautauqua is kind of a smorgasbord of arts and literature and entertainment. There's a Chautauqua Symphony Orchestra, there's dance, there's ballet, there's theater, there's an opera company, lectures, entertainment ranging from Joshua Bell, the great violinist who opened the season, to the Beach Boys, who will be coming towards the end of the season, and everything in between. Now, one of the reasons why Michelle and I went to what is known as week one of the nine-week Chautauqua summer season is the chaplain and preacher of the week was the Right Reverend Mary Ann Buddy, who is the bishop of the Episcopal Diocese of Washington, D.C. Those of you who may watch or have watched services streamed from the Washington National Cathedral may have heard her preach occasionally. And I would suggest that, with the possible exception of our presiding bishop, Michael Curry, she's probably the most powerful preaching voice in the Episcopal Church today. And in a sense, Bishop Buddy and I go way back, right? From before she was a bishop. Way back, I think it was in late 2008, maybe early 2009. It was not too long after the horrible split where the then Bishop of Pittsburgh led about half of his clergy and congregations out of the Episcopal Church. And I was a priest in the Diocese of Pittsburgh. The Episcopal Church put on a special clergy conference for us as part of the healing process to try to figure out what does this all mean and how can we rebuild our diocese? Well, they brought in some big name speakers to talk with us, to us. One of them was a relatively young woman. I'd never heard of her. Probably a few other people there had ever heard of her. She was the rector of an Episcopal church in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and her name was Mary Ann Buddy. And she just knocked us dead. She was so good. We kind of looked at each other and said, oh my God, we want to call this woman to be our next bishop. Well, sadly, the Diocese of Washington, D.C. got her before we did. And it's probably to the good because her ministry there has been fabulous. So trust me, this is not a sermon about Chautauqua. Let me get to it. There is a connection. So Bishop Buddy preached a series of sermons, Sunday morning through the following Friday morning, and she entitled her preaching series, Learning How to Be Brave. And particularly her first two sermons on Sunday morning and Monday morning just resonated with me so much. The first one she entitled, Stepping Up to the Plate. And the second was, Deciding to Go, as in to go where God is calling us. Right? And she really did step up to the plate, and she knocked it right out of the park, to have a couple of baseball metaphors. And as I reflected on what Bishop Buddy had said, and as I reflected on this morning's gospel, as I reflected on where this parish is in the transition from your former rector to, God willing, a new rector, I saw a big connection between all of that. You see, you have been very brave. You have stepped up to the plate, and you have decided to go where God is calling you. It's not over yet, for sure. And there's a lot more down the road, but just think about all that you have done. The end of last year, you weren't expecting your rector to leave. You weren't expecting to lose Chad and his family. I think it's safe to say that you were pretty comfortable with the way things were, and you weren't really looking for a change. But God was calling Chad to a new place, a new ministry. So you said your goodbyes. You bade him Godspeed, he and his family. You were brave. You didn't cling to the past, and you were ready to move forward. Your vestry stepped up to the plate. Bishop Buddy, who has a bilingual ministry in the Diocese of Washington with many Spanish-speaking people, said that she realized that that baseball metaphor, stepping up to the plate, doesn't translate well into Spanish. It comes out more like stepping on the plate, you know, literally like breaking a plate. So the metaphor that she used in Spanish, and it works in English, is taking the bull by the horns. The vestry took the bull by the horns. They appointed a wonderful rector search committee with a great chairperson, and I'm looking at you, Becky, for better or worse, called me to be your interim rector. You know, you lose some, you win some. Anyway, and you got going, right? The rector search committee realized that the change that this transition was presenting was bringing to you was so great that they adopted those words from Revelation, see, I am making all things new, as the theme of the transition. And I can't help but wonder if when Paul says to the Galatians, when Paul says to us this morning, a new creation is everything, I wonder whether the author of Revelation was aware of that and was influenced by Paul's words written decades before. And you guys rolled up your sleeves on May 15th. Many of you showed up for a three-hour session. You came up with the core values of this parish. You discerned your hopes and dreams for the future of this place, and you defined the characteristics of the person that God is calling to serve as your next rector. Right? And then you completed the parish profile, and thanks be to God, finally this past week it was approved. It's published. It's out there for the whole world to see. And now we wait for people to apply and for God to bring the right person, whoever she might be, whoever he might be, to serve as your next rector, right? So you were brave, you stepped up to the plate, you took the bull by the horns, and you have gone, you've run with it. You've done so much. But there is still a lot to be done, right? And that's where this morning's gospel definitely intersects, right? Jesus sends out the 70. Jesus tells us the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. God, Jesus, tells us that he is sending us out like lambs into the midst of wolves. I kind of suspect that he also told them, as he does in Matthew, be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. So, the harvest is plentiful. And believe me, there is plenty to do and plenty to bring in. The laborers, well, yeah, there are few, but you know what? God is calling each and every one of us, each and every one of you, to do the work that remains to be done in this process and beyond, right? God is calling you to continue to be brave, to continue to step up to the plate, take the bull by the horns, and go. Go to where God is calling you, calling this parish. So, what is left to be done? What is there? What is God calling you to do? Well, in a word, a lot. Actually, I think that's two words. Sorry. A lot, right? And more than I could ever do justice to in a single sermon, right? I think it kind of boils down into three broad categories. One is giving. Two, rolling up your sleeves and do the work that still lies ahead. Three, do the work of evangelism in the community through this place. So giving, well, you know, technically it's not stewardship season yet, but frankly, it's always stewardship season, right? It's always a good time to think about, what are we giving back to God? Are we giving God a bad tip, or are we being generous? All right, are we giving in grateful thanksgiving for all that God has done for us, all that we are, all that we have? You know, you all came up with a lot of hopes and dreams for this parish, and I'm here to tell you that's going to take money, right? And I hope we'll have a very robust stewardship season in the fall, because whoever that new rector is going to be, he or she is going to need a healthy budget to do all that work that you want to be done in this place. So I invite you to think about, how much do you give back to God through this place? And then, rolling up your sleeves. Well, what is that? Well, again, go online. It's on our website. You can read the parish profile. You can read the hopes and dreams for the future of this place that you all came up with, right? And guess what? That stuff isn't going to happen all by itself. And it's a lot more than any one clergy person can do, no matter if it's Superwoman or Superman. And God is calling each and every one of you to play a part in making sure that those hopes and dreams don't gather dust on a page, or if that's the right metaphor for an online document, but they actually get translated into action. Okay? And then finally, evangelism in the community. I hate to say this, guys, but you got to get back to where you were before the pandemic, where on an average Sunday there were 50 or 60 people here. Attendance was going up. Well, last week there were 14 people here. Glad to see there are more today. The world is hungry for what you have here, right? You've got the love of God. You've got the love of neighbor. You've got the love of this place. You have hope. You have new life. There's so many people out there who don't. They're so hungry for it. And often all they're waiting for is an invitation. You know that research shows that the average person who is unchurched, when asked, when invited to go to church with someone, is apt to say yes. Sure, I'll come. When was the last time you invited someone you know to come to church? Don't know. But through word of mouth, through buzz in the community, as this place comes back, as more activities get geared up, more things, more attractions, more outreach, more community events. Come and meet our new rector. What a great way of inviting someone to this place. What you have is too good to keep it to yourselves. You need to share it. So maybe you're thinking, oh, not me. I'm too old, or I'm too young, or I don't have the skills, I'm not equipped, or I'm not worthy. I'm not a great person. Well, guess what? God takes away all those excuses. I'm going to share just a few examples that Bishop Buddy shared with us. You remember the story of Abram, later to be known as Abraham, and Sarah. Abram is like 75 years old. Sarah thinks she's well past childbearing age. Well, guess what? They both say yes to God, and they found a great people, and they have a child. And then, there's Jeremiah. Not me, Lord. I'm just a boy. I'm too old. I'm too young. God says, doesn't matter to me. You're the one I want. Or Moses. You know how many times Moses said no to God before he finally relented? I'm not the one, Lord. Don't send me to Pharaoh. I can't speak well. Well, God knows that. God knows all of our shortcomings and our weaknesses. God uses our shortcomings and our weaknesses, right? Jacob, one of the patriarchs of Israel, was a liar and a cheat, yet God chose him to be part of that great history of the Israelite people. Jesus called fishermen and a tax collector and a woman of questionable repute to be his disciples. Oh. God knows who we are. God knows our strengths, and God knows our weaknesses. And God calls us, and when we say yes, God equips us. There's that thing, you know, called the Holy Spirit. We celebrated it not long ago on the day of Pentecost. God will use each and every one of us to do the work that remains to be done through the balance of the transition and the balance of your whole lives and the life of this parish. Right? So be brave. Step up to the plate. Take the bull by the horns. Go where God is calling you. I won't promise you a box of chocolates, a walk in the park, or any other metaphor, because it's not always going to be easy. But this I will promise you. You say yes to God, you will be blessed. And you will be a blessing. Amen.